Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Welcome to the reading of the Sioux City Journal for Thursday, November 26, 2020. It's Thanksgiving, as everybody knows. Hope your day is going well. I'm your reader, Amy B. We're going to be reading the Sioux City Journal, and it's kind of a funny day for the journal. Things aren't quite the way they normally are. For example, there's no weather in the paper, so we'll do with that today, and we're going to start out by reading the mini editorial, as we always do. This one comes to us from Julie Carrer, spelled K-A-R-R-E-R, of Sioux City. She writes, "We don't smoke in public places. We wear seat belts and cannot text while driving. We wear a shirt and shoes in public places. How come it's so hard to wear masks in public places?" And again, that was written by Julie Carrer of Sioux City. The front page story today is headlined, COVID-19 Curtails Black Friday Shopping. Siouxlanders adjust their expectations to the pandemic. This is written by Brett Hayworth of the Journal. Deb Gallis is lamenting how the spike of the novel coronavirus spread scuttled her big plans for shopping during the Thanksgiving holiday. "It is my first year in 15 years that I haven't taken off work to go Black Friday shopping," Gallis said. "It's just going to be a sad holiday. It depresses me. It was the one day of the year I really looked forward to because I really like to shop. I like crowds and I like people." Back in 2014, Thanksgiving/Black Friday was a 16-hour experience for the Marcus, Iowa woman. Some years it was nearly a 24 outing for her and her friend Pam Tentinger. This year, Gallis, a healthcare provider, said it isn't defensible to be out shopping in a crush of people amid the COVID-19 pandemic, so she's staying at home. Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, has a reputation as the best time of the year to buy just about anything. The 2020 year won't hold the same experience as before. In a change from recent years, most retailers will be closed Thanksgiving Day. A substantial number of other retailers started their holiday deals in October. Walmart, for example, spread out its traditional one-day Black Friday deals over 3 weekends in November in an effort to reduce crowds of shoppers. As shoppers avoid physical stores and focus more on online shopping, foot traffic at retail stores is expected to be down in the vicinity of 25% during the 6 key weeks of the holiday season compared to the same year-ago period, according to a forecast from ShopperTrack. Gallis said she decided to forego Black Friday shopping after a family member developed a serious medical condition, and other people she knows tested positive for the virus. Her guiding principle is the health and safety of Siouxlanders. "We can't jeopardize any of that, getting sick and passing it on. A lot of people don't know that they have it, the virus. Day after day, people have to be diligent." Gallis usually heavily shopped in Sioux City, a regional retail hub, where there have been more than 9,900 positive coronavirus cases as of Tuesday. Virus spread has been so concerted over the fall months that, as the holiday and 10,000 cases threshold neared, Sioux City Hospital administrators have said it is a time in which people need to reconsider carrying out traditional activities. The day after Thanksgiving, traditionally known as Black Friday, had been losing its luster as the unofficial start to the holiday shopping season for the past several years, once retailers started to usher in deals on Thanksgiving Day. This year, super shopper Sean Petikovich of Pearson, Iowa, is the type who asks her employer 12 months ahead to get Black Friday off for a vacation day, noted there appears to be a change with no Thanksgiving shopping. Petikovich said she will absolutely wear a mask when shopping. which has been required by a host of the big-box retailers for months. She admitted being near big crowds this year gives some apprehension, and she suspects numbers will be noticeably down. On Black Friday in Sioux City, JCPenney will open at 5 a.m., and Menards will start at 6 a.m. Southern Hills Mall will open 2 hours earlier than normal at 8 a.m. Vitkovich is playing by ear on how early to venture out on Friday. Many years, her day would begin at 2 a.m. with breakfast out at a restaurant, when a plan would be made for the 6 to 7 hours of shopping that were about to unfold with a sister, Dusty Messenbrink of Sioux Falls, and 3 daughters who live in Lamar's, Kingsley, and Holstein, Iowa. On Black Friday, I stand there with the cart and they just throw things in, Petkovich said, adding that shopping in overnight dark hours has an appeal. Other people think we are nuts, but we have fun, she said. Next article, by Brett Hayworth, is headlined, Don't Share Thanksgiving Meals with Your Pets. Area veterinarians warn of giving turkey and other foods to dogs. Sioux City. Some families have a habit of letting pets get in on parts of the Thanksgiving meal fare, but Siouxland veterinarians say that's a bad idea. Slipping pets, half-eaten turkey legs, or other leftovers, what some families call scraps, may be given with good intentions of sharing the holiday with pets, but those items are unhealthy or even dangerous for pets, the vets said. Dr. Brittany Rock of Marcus Remsen Veterinary Clinic in Marcus, Iowa, said people from a farm background may have the tradition of feeding human leftovers, especially to farm dogs. Her perception is that practice is trending downward after a better understanding of the realities of pet diets. In general, we don't recommend leftovers, Rock said. What seems like a harmless turkey bone for a dog to chew could splinter in the intestines, Rock said. She said Thanksgiving dinner items that are high in salt or fat, such as gravy, could cause pets to vomit or get diarrhea. Any food items with spices, such as onions, garlic, or chives, are also problematic. A lot of people don't realize onions and garlic are toxic to pets, Rock said. Dr. Steve Hemmingstad of Lakeport Veterinary Hospital in Sioux City concurred with Rock on steering clear of Thanksgiving leftovers for pets. He said they should be kept on the routine of a balanced diet. Why rock the boat by giving them scraps? Hemmingstad said. He said farm pets especially may live their whole lives eating leftovers, but owners may not see the digestive distress exhibited in the outside setting. More and more people have seen the problem of feeding table food, Hemmingstad said. If a person is inclined to give a special snack on Thanksgiving, Hemmingstad said a small serving of lean meat would be the way to go. But, he said, people should just pass on that idea of celebrating the day with treats for pets. They don't even know it is a holiday, Hemmingstad said with a chuckle. A better idea for a dog, he said, would be to take them for a walk. Turning now to page A6, I'm skipping over some Black Friday ads, you guys, but we'll go back to them if that needs to happen at the end of the paper, if there's time at the end. Okay, next article by Nick Heitrich of the Journal is titled, Santa's Lap is Off Limits, but he's still coming to Sioux City. And there's a little box next to a picture of Santa saying, Seeing Santa in Sioux City. Despite the pandemic, Santa Claus will still be making regular appearances in Sioux City this holiday season. Santa will arrive at Southern Hills Mall on Black Friday and appear daily through December 24th. Hours are 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Mondays through Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sundays, and that is at Southern Hills Mall. Children will not be allowed to sit on Santa's lap there, though, but photos will be taken in a setting that allows for social distancing. Mall officials encourage parents to go online at southernhillsmall.com to make reservations for visits and photos enabling them to have a contactless experience. The website also will have information on other digital experiences to interact with Santa remotely. In downtown Sioux City, Santa will be seated in a corner window at the Warrior Hotel, 6th and Nebraska Streets, from noon to 4 p.m. each Saturday before Christmas. A speaker system will enable the children to speak with Santa. Children also will be able to drop off their letters to Santa in a mailbox at the site. Now here's the longer article about it. Turns out Santa Claus isn't immune to the effects of the coronavirus pandemic either. The jolly old elf will be subject to mitigation efforts, just like the rest of us, to help good little boys and girls celebrate Christmas safely while still getting their wish lists to him. Santa has plans to visit Sioux City regularly. He'll be back at Southern Hills Malls daily, starting Friday and through December 24th. Kids will have to speak up when relaying their lists. There's no sitting on Santa's lap this year. Guests will still have the opportunity to engage in conversations and take a photo with Santa, but the photo set will be arranged to allow for adequate social distancing, said James Clakely, marketing director at Southern Hills Mall. Downtown Sioux City organizers knew months ago they needed a plan B, and they rolled out Santa in the Window, a modification of the usual Santa's house. Children won't be able to go visit his temporary home in a downtown business and sit on his lap this year, but they'll have the chance to see him in a way that might bring back some memories for older generations. From noon to 4 p.m. each Saturday, from now until Christmas, Santa will take a seat at the corner window at the Warrior Hotel at 6th and Nebraska Streets. Children will be able to walk up to the window and speak to Santa through the window with a microphone. There also will be a mailbox to drop letters to Santa into. The kids are going to want something, and hopefully this is a safe way to do that, said Regan Cote, executive director of Downtown Partners. Even if you just want to drive by and wave at Santa, that's an option. Cote said the setup will be reminiscent of long past times, when downtown department stores set up elaborate Christmas displays in their windows. Unfortunately, COVID-19 risks will likely keep Santa from making his annual stops at the Center Hill Mall in Sioux City, Iowa. Manager Dean Gabbart said the annual Breakfast with Santa event at Pizza Ranch has been canceled. The mall traditionally has hosted Santa on Saturday afternoons in December, but those have been canceled through December 5th in order to comply with stricter social distancing and crowd limits issued earlier this month by Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds. Those restrictions are in place until December 10th. Even if eased, it might be too late to get Santa to visit, especially considering St. Nick usually draws a big crowd. It's really looking like we won't be having any visits with Santa, Gabbart said. It's a difficult decision to make. To try and make that safe for everybody at this point, we just didn't feel like we could do it. On the bright side, Gabbard said, the mall will continue its tradition of free kids' movies at the theater on Saturdays and Sundays with limited capacity. The mini train rides also will be offered with safety precautions in place. This is at the Center Mall in Sioux Center, Iowa. Some children obviously will be disappointed that yet another activity has fallen victim to the pandemic. I think people will miss meeting with Santa and having their pictures taken, Gabbert said. One more lump of coal the coronavirus has left for us in our stockings this year. Now there's a quiz that looks interesting for us to take. This is Put Your Turkey Day Knowledge to Test. Because of the pandemic, this Thanksgiving will be very different than in years past, but it will still include many familial and national traditions. The quiz below from Ashbrook Center at Ashland University provides an opportunity for you to test your knowledge of the Thanksgiving holiday in American history and culture. Question 1. What was the primary food that the Wampanoag, the Native American tribe that participated in the first Thanksgiving, contributed to the feast? Is it A, turkey, B, ham, C, venison, or D, lobster? Let's look at the answers. The answer is C, venison. Here's the next question. Writer and editor Sarah Josepha Hale, author of the poem Mary Had a Little Lamb, also is known as the godmother of Thanksgiving for urging which president to have our annual Thanksgiving made a national and fixed union festival. Is it A, James Buchanan, B, Ulysses S. Grant, C, Andrew Johnson, or D, Abraham Lincoln? The answer is D, Abraham Lincoln. Question 3. In what year was the law passed making the fourth Thursday of November the fixed date for Thanksgiving? Is it A, 1912, B, 1935, C, 1941, or D, 1991? The answer is C, 1941. Next question. Which president said that, quote, Thanksgiving reminds us that no matter our differences, we are still one people, part of something bigger than ourselves. We are always simply Americans. Is it A, John F. Kennedy, B, Barack Obama, C, Ronald Reagan, or D, Franklin Roosevelt? The answer is number B, Barack Obama. Next question. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade will exclude a live audience this year, but will still be broadcast on television. In what years was the parade officially canceled since first being held in 1924? Was it A, 1929 to 1931, B, 1942 to 1944, C, 1951 to 1953, or D, 1960 to 1962? The answer is B, 1942 to 1944. Question 6. Because of a mix-up that resulted in a major surplus of turkey one year, which company packaged turkey, stuffing, peas, and sweet potatoes in aluminum trays, creating the first TV dinners? Was it A, Swanson, B, Morton's, C, Tyson, or D, Stouffer's? The answer is A, Swanson. Question 7. The tradition of handing out Thanksgiving-themed awards to NFL players began in 1989. What was the initial award called and who received it? Was it A, turkey leg to former Philadelphia Eagle Reggie White, B, the galloping gobbler to former Dallas Cowboy Tony Romo, C, the turkey leg to former San Francisco 49er Joe Montana, or D, the galloping gobbler to former Green Bay Packer Brett Favre? The answer to 7 is A, a turkey leg to former Philadelphia Eagle Reggie White. Question 8. Which of America's founding fathers wanted the turkey rather than the eagle to be America's national bird? Ooh, I know this one. So here are our options. A, John Adams, B, Alexander Hamilton, C, Patrick Henry, or D, Benjamin Franklin? The answer is D, Benjamin Franklin. Question 9. Which Ivy League college teams faced off in the first Thanksgiving football game in the 1970s? Was it A, Princeton versus Yale, B, Harvard versus Princeton, C, Columbia versus Dartmouth, or D, Cornell versus Yale? The answer is A, Princeton versus Yale. Here's our final question of this quiz. In addition to the United States, several other countries celebrate a Thanksgiving holiday. Which of the following is not one of them? A. Canada. B. Brazil. C. Sweden. Or D. Liberia? The answer is C. Sweden was the other country which does not celebrate Thanksgiving. That was kind of fun. Let's move on now to our next local article. This is about the Festival of Trees that's going to be in Spencer. So Spencer, Iowa, will have its annual Festival of Trees November 17th through December 17th at the Heritage Center at 7 Grand Avenue. There's no charge, but there is a free will donation suggested. The Christmas Evening Gala in Spencer will be Friday, December 4th at 5 p.m. It is now a virtual event. Join them online to view the trees and make a silent auction bid on bigirongives.com. Tickets to that are $20. In Spencer, Morning with Santa is now a Wave with Santa on Saturday, December 5th from 10 to 11 a.m. at the Parker Home, 300 East 3rd Street in Spencer. That event is free. And the Tour of Homes, Saturday, December 5th at 3 p.m. is now a virtual event. Join them online to view the four unique and beautifully decorated homes. The tickets for that are $20. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, please wear a mask, social distance, and use hand sanitizer where available. I'm going to go ahead and read the local opinion now because it's a good time to do this. The opinion is written by the editors of the journal, and it is entitled, Five Reasons to be Thankful. As our nation observes the Thanksgiving holiday, members of our editorial board offer five reasons in no specific order why we ourselves, as Zoolanders and Americans, are thankful this year. Healthcare providers. Since the pandemic struck over 9 months ago, doctors, nurses, lab technicians, support staff, first responders, and other dedicated professionals have been on the front lines of the seemingly endless battle against COVID-19. In Metro Sioux City, which has had one of the nation's highest number of positive COVID-19 cases on a per capita basis, there are hundreds of healthcare workers who richly deserve our thanks. These everyday heroes have been working around the clock, treating and comforting patients sick with the deadly virus. Because they're in close contact with their patients, providers are constantly in danger of catching the virus themselves, and potentially what might bring it home to their loved ones. But it's a risk they're willing to accept due to their calling for caring for others. Economic strength. The raging pandemic and subsequent government orders forced scores of businesses to temporarily shut down, and millions of U.S. workers remain unemployed. The economy in Siouxland continues to recover and to be a bright spot nationally. Nebraska retained its status last month as the state with the nation's lowest unemployment rate, falling to 3%. Less than half the national rate of 6.9%, according to data released Friday. Iowa and South Dakota had the third lowest rate in the nation at 3.6%, behind only Nebraska and Vermont. Metro Sioux City's jobless rate fell to 2.8% in October, tied with Iowa City for the lowest among the state's largest cities. Adding to 800 non-farm jobs since September, Sioux City's employment reached a level comparable to the pre-COVID period in March. America's farmers. Due to rising COVID-19 cases, many Americans have canceled their family gatherings for Thanksgiving. But whether you're sitting down for dinner today with loved ones or just by yourself, we should all take a moment to remember the individuals who produced the food on our tables. Today, the average U.S. farm feeds 166 people annually in our country and abroad. No region of the country appreciates the important role farmers and agribusiness plays in our economy more than we do. In Iowa, for example, agriculture and its related industries pump $121.1 billion a year into the state's economy. Educators. With the pandemic regularly playing havoc with schedules for schools, teachers, paraeducators, and administrators are facing a new set of challenges to educate our nation's young people, navigating new ways of instruction and technology. With outbreaks forcing many schools to switch to hybrid or virtual forms of instruction, educators have had to navigate new technology and new ways of delivering the curriculum. Many report feeling overwhelmed, having to teach both students remotely and those sitting in their classrooms. They're also meeting emotional needs stemming from the pandemic, which include anxiety, grief, and trauma. In some cases, they're comforting students dealing with the deaths of loved ones caused by the virus or separation from family members and friends due to health restrictions. Finally, we need to be thankful for our women and men in armed forces. Members of our armed forces, the world's finest, and their families make countless sacrifices for us. Today and every day, we should give thanks to our servicemen and women who stand guard around the clock over our nation's security and freedoms. In particular, let's remember the tens of thousands of service personnel who this Thanksgiving holiday are deployed far from home in dozens of countries around the globe. Well, everybody, we've reached the halfway point. You are listening to the reading of the Sioux City Journal for Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November 26, 2020, on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now let's turn to today's obituaries. There are just two obituaries in the paper today. The first is from Omaha, Nebraska, formerly Sioux City, Gerald McManus. Gerald McManus, age 84, died Sunday, November 23, 2020. Services will be held at a later date. Gerald enjoyed old cars and spent many years in the Omaha Model A Club. He loved listening to and playing music on his guitar and harmonica. Above all, he enjoyed spending time with his family and traveling with his late wife, Karen. Each year, they would pack up their motorhome and head south for the winter. From South Sioux City, Mary Gus M. Palmer, age 94, died Saturday, November 21st, 2020. Services, November 28th at 1 p.m., Moore and Becker Hunt Funeral Home. Burial, Dakota City Cemetery. Visitation, 1 hour prior to service time. Now let's go ahead and turn to sports. This first article is by Zach James of the Journal. Long-term planning, Metro Girls Basketball Preview. East's plan for future starts now. East High School girls basketball coach Brian Drent has been planning for this season for a couple of years. The way the Black Raiders played last year, which was a more guard-oriented style of offense, despite having 6'2" Nia Dew, was to get them ready to play smaller, quicker, and more aggressive for the 2020-2021 season. Drent wanted East to embrace playing around the three-point line and playing a five-out spread. Of course, when Dew was open down on the block or in the paint, her Black Raiders teammates fed her the ball. Dew enjoyed playing that style, and she succeeded by leading East with 16.5 points per game. Dew, however, isn't there anymore. She's at Butler. Kennedy McCloy and Catlin Tucker were also among the departing seniors on last year's 16-8 team. We made that conscious decision, and that was really for the long term, Drent said. We looked at our program, and we looked at what we needed to do to compete at the highest level. Yes, some of that is gone, but there's a good chunk of it back, and we're doing it faster than we thought we would. How do you fill Naya, Catlin, and Kennedy's roles? We do it with a bunch of people. The Black Raiders competed at the highest level last year, qualifying for the Class 5A state tournament, and clinched the number 8 seed. East upset Dowling Catholic in the regional final, then lost in a lopsided game to eventual runner-up Waukee. Drent believes that if the Black Raiders are playing more around the perimeter, it'll simplify the game more for a team that doesn't have any seniors this year. East's top three returning scorers are all juniors. Kayla Benson was East's number 4 leading scorer last season, averaging 5.6 points per game. Taylor Drent was 5th, 4.1 points per game, and Megan Callahan 6th with 4. These girls know what Brian Drent and the East assistants expect. Play at a fast pace and shoot the ball well. These girls know that if they can make shots, they have a good chance of playing, Brian Drent said. It's really narrowed our focus. It clarifies things for us. I've reached out to our youth coaches to let them know what we're doing with our program and the direction we're going and how we can layer some stuff. Brian Drent admitted that if he was coaching against the Black Raiders, he would slow the pace down and force East to play possession-by-possession basketball. Brian Drent has been pleased with how the younger girls have retained the information from last year and how the Black Raiders didn't really need to press the reset button when practice began last week. The Black Raiders are ahead of schedule from the perspective of putting in the offensive plays. The roles inside those familiar offensive plays will change for East, though. The Black Raiders will play deeper off the bench, and some of those players got valuable playing time in the 76-36 state quarterfinal loss to Waukee. Brian Drent pointed out 5 then-sophomores who played in that game. Benson, Taylor Drent, Callahan, Kylie Vondrak, and Kaya Downs. That time for those now 5 juniors, that was really good for us, Drent said. They held their own very, very well. It's looking at those 5 kids. There's some athletic pedigree where they're having success in other sports. That tells me you're willing to be competitive and willing to be competitive in other sports. That athleticism will have to be carried over to the defensive side of the floor. Brian Drent complimented 5'11 Addie Harris as being a really good shot blocker. The Black Raiders coach also believed that having that quickness may allow East to apply traps more in full court and half court sets. Not having Naya in the middle as a threat changes everything, Brian Drent said. We were in a 2-3 zone last year. I'm not saying we're playing 2-3 this year, but it'll be a different deal. We'll see how that transitions. I think we can play more in a 3-quarter court. We want to play free. On the backside of traps, I think we'll have better athletes who can steal passes. Bishop Heelan, the Crusaders have already played a game, and they didn't cower against good competition on Friday night. Heelan, the Class 3A defending champions and ranked 13th in the Iowa High School Girls Athletic Union preseason poll, lost in its season opener against number 7 Unity Christian, 52-42. The game was tied at 20-20 at the half, and the Knights pulled away in the 4th quarter. The Crusaders have a new coach this season, as Jay Wright takes over for Darren Koolstra. Wright met with each Crusaders player during open gyms before the season started, and there was one collective message: keep the culture intact. Sure, all 5 starters are gone. Yes, the Crusaders are going to have to find different ways to score and defend to collect some wins. Of course, Heelan's new players didn't play a whole lot last year and have to fill some new roles. The culture, according to Wright, still needs to stay the same. the way that everybody was involved, the way the bench was engaged, how enthusiastic everyone was, the teamwork, the camaraderie, Wright said. The coaches change and the players' roles have changed, but they understand how to be a team and work together from those previous years. Understanding that culture is really important. Wright was quick to point out that every team is different. Well, this team is very different than the one a year ago. When the Crusaders beat North Polk in the March 6th championship game in Des Moines, Koolstra played 6 underclassmen off the bench, but just one of them scored. Kenley Mice scored 7 points in the title game, but Lauren Peck also took a shot in that game. Mice led all returning scorers with 83 points and 20 assists throughout the season, but Wright is eager about several other players who he hopes can make a difference. Mice has a whole new role, and she'll have to handle the ball more. She's the one kid who has the best returning stats, Wright said. How does she make that transition? She can play on both ends. Peck, meanwhile, scored 9 points in the loss to Unity on Friday, including 2 threes in the second half. We don't go to the state tournament last year without Lauren Peck hitting some key shots, Wright said. Her shooting is going to be big. She can get going and hit a lot of shots. Brooklyn Stanley led Helen in scoring against the Knights with 10 points in her first career varsity game as a freshman. The Crusaders also have 2 seniors, Kyla Michalak and Leah Peterson. Wright expects those 2 to play key minutes. I think we have length and I think we have athleticism, Wright said. We may not be tall, but we're not super short either. That can present some problems. A lot of middle-sized kids who are quick is better than having one short kid and one big kid. We'll use our quickness and speed against size. Dakota Valley. Just like the Panthers boys have a good 1-2 combination between Paul Bruins and Isaac Bruins, the Panthers ladies also have a good sister duo with Riley Rosenquist and Rachel Rosenquist. Riley Rosenquist led the Panthers in scoring in 18.7 points per game as a sophomore, while Rachel Rosenquist averaged 10.4 points per game. We need to find more scoring, so it's one all-on-one or 2 kids, DV coach Tammy Lilly said. I think we'll have that this year. Lilly expects junior Grace Bass and sophomore Georgia Vendenhall to be a more consistent scorer. Brooke Carlson also returns as a post player, and she played in 18 games last year after suffering an ACL tear. She scored 4.2 points per game. The Panthers went 13-9 last season, and they finished 3rd in the Dakota 12 with a 7-3 conference record. At one stretch, DV won 6th of 7 games that spanned from late January to early February. Everybody's role needs to be more clean, and we need to cut down on turnovers, Lily said. We need to make sure everyone is contributing in a positive way. Sergeant Bluff Luton. The Warriors went 13-9 last season, but Sergeant Bluff Luton will have to replace 2 of its top 4 scorers. SBL lost Kenzie Foley and Chloe Black due to graduation. Emma Salker and Maddie Hinkle return as juniors. Salker was the Warriors' number 2 scorer on last year's team with 10.9 points per game. SBL reeled off a 7-game winning streak last year, and that streak began by beating Class 4A, number 9, preseason-ranked Denison Schleswig, and the Warriors almost beat East in the second meeting of the season. Current sophomore Peyton Hardy led the Warriors in their regional quarterfinal loss to Lamar's with 16 points. The Warriors will aim to be a better free-throw shooting team, as they made 56% last season. South Sioux City. Steve Selk's first season saw South Sioux go 12-11, and Tiffany Tinker led the Cardinals in scoring. Tinker led the Cardinals with 14.7 points per game, but she graduated. Kyra Fisher, now a 5'10 senior, scored 14 points per game, along with having 4 assists per game. The Cardinals averaged 55.6 points per game and shot 40% inside the 3-point line. The Wolverines, from West, put a 13-10 record in the books last season and hope to have another successful campaign. West won 5 of its last 6 games before losing by 4 points in a regional semifinal to Ames on the road. 2 of those 5 wins came against North. The Wolverines do return their leading scorer, as Nia Moore scored 9.2 points per game. Gabby Wagner also scored 7.5 points per game. Wagner and Lily Junke both had 10 points in the finale against the Little Cyclones. North, the Stars, hope to have a better season this year as they went 2-20 last time around. Both wins came early in the season. North opened the season with a victory against Storm Lake and then beat Omaha Bryan on January 7th, which was its second game after holiday break. North then lost its last 14 games. North scored 39.5 points per game as a team. The Stars do return their top 2 scorers, junior Madison Craighead at 7.9 points per game and junior Adriel Simeon at 7.0 points per game. Turning now to the section on the best things to do in the Siouxland now. Number 1 is Santa under glass. With the threat, even the threat of COVID-19 won't keep a certain North Pole inhabitant from making his seasonal rounds. Okay, we're lying about that. Put on that naughty list again. Starting from noon to 4 p.m. this Saturday, and every Saturday through December 19th, Downtown Partners and Unity Point Health St. Luke's Hospital will let Rugrats confab with St. Nick during Santa in the Window at the Warrior Hotel, 6th and Nebraska Street. Kids can talk from outside via a handy mic, while the Jolly One, who will also be mic'd, jots down notes. 'Tis the season for social distancing. Number 2. Happy Heavy Metal Holidays. What is your favorite Christmas carol? If you said Stairway to Heaven, you're probably already going to see Gallows Pole, a Led Zeppelin tribute band that is taking the stage at the Marquee, 1225 4th Street, at 7 p.m. on Saturday. Number 3. Greeting from the Griswolds. Some people love National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation so much that the thought of 2 hours worth of Chevy Chase every holiday season makes up for the nightmare that was Cops and Robertson's. Discuss this with Chevy, as well as Beverly D'Angelo, during a virtual Christmas Vacation with the Griswolds, a live interactive presentation at 7 p.m. on Saturday. Get tickets and a device at thetysoncenter.com. Number 4. Talking or Singing Turkey at the Vanguard. Do you know where you're going to be on Thanksgiving night? If you're not zonked out on tryptophan, head on over to Open Mic Night at Vanguard Arts, 416 Pierce Street, starting at 7 p.m. Thursday. If you're lousy, someone might give you the bird. Number 5. Pop-up shopping with a caffeinated twist. Nisa Salmon and her caffeinated crew at Hardline Coffee Company, 611 5th Street, will be conducting their annual holiday pop-up sale from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. this Saturday. When you're downtown, don't forget it. This event coincides with Small Business Saturday. Number 6. Ice Cream Capital Bound for Christmas. In case you didn't know, Lamar's, Iowa, home of Blue Bunny Ice Cream, is the ice cream capital of the world. Grab a scoop when Hometown Christmas in Lamar's, an interactive lighting of a 26-foot Christmas tree, is lit up at 6 p.m. this Saturday at Christmas in Lamar's. Yeah, we know it isn't the same as being in the crowd online when you watch it on Facebook, but you can stay comfy at home. Now here's a nice article by Earl Horlick entitled Dakota City Eats. There's a big picture of Tyson Sanchez, owner of Daga's on Broadway, inside his new Dakota City restaurant. A food truck veteran, Sanchez has opened a carryout and delivery restaurant in the former Hungry's Steakout location in Dakota City, Nebraska. Details: what? Daga's on Broadway. When? 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. Where? 100 North 14th Street, Dakota City, Nebraska. Phone number? 402-241-5109. Food available for takeout and delivery. Dakota City. Popular food truck creates a brick-and-mortar restaurant in location of former steakhouse. Toward the front of newly rechristened Daga's on Broadway is a reminder of its past. The dark wood paneling, located in a corner, is all that remains of the former Hungry's, a popular steakhouse that occupied the space at 100 North Main Street for more than two decades. People remember Hungry's as a great place where the food was always terrific, Tyson Sanchez said, showing off his still-being-renovated eatery. We wanted to retain that piece of Dakota City history with a special VIP table honoring Hungry's. However, this nod to the past is the exception and not the rule. After all, the ambitious Sanchez has big plans for the restaurant that is located in Dakota County's county seat. Owner of Daga's on Wheels, a popular food truck business specializing in authentic Mexican street fare, Sanchez wants Daga's on Broadway to feature a traditional American steakhouse menu with a few tips of the sombrero to south of the border cuisine. To that end, he has already hired a chef who has experience in upscale eats. In the back of the cavernous space will be a full-functioning sports bar, which will be unlike anything in the town of slightly more than 1,900 people. While the steakhouse and bar will remain under construction for the next few months, Sanchez and his crew are currently serving Daga's on Wheels meals for takeout or delivery from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday at the Dakota City locale. The entire community has been great to work with, he said. We want to give Dakota City something very special. Sanchez has a lot riding on the business, which actually had its roots in a former brick-and-mortar eatery. Sanchez's grandparents arrived in America from their native Jalisco, Mexico, with very little money more than 30 years ago. Working in the meatpacking industry for decades, they dreamed of opening their own restaurant. Their son purchased a small storefront in Winnebago, Nebraska, as a way for them to retire while doing something they loved. Sanchez worked at Daga's Mexican Grill right out of high school. He learned how to cook from his grandma's recipes, making smothered burritos and rice that's fluffy and flavorful, like it came straight out of Jalisco. Eventually, Daga's on Wheels supplanted Daga's Mexican Grill as a business. This is why Sanchez decided to close the brick-and-mortar shop a few years ago. I enjoyed the food truck business, and Daga's was lucky enough to have gotten into the field long before there was so much competition, he explained. I never thought I'd be involved in another sit-down operation ever again. Well, that was until Sanchez built up a dependable staff who wanted to work throughout the year. This, he said, is the downside to any food truck operation. Due to weather, we have to close down for the winter, he said. Every year, we had to hire back staff who may or may not have found other full-time work. The importance of an experienced crew became much more relevant during the COVID-19 crisis. More traditional restaurants suffered when they had to close down, and food trucks remained open, Sanchez said. Daga's on Wheels began its season on a high note, and business only increased after that. It certainly helps that Daga's on Wheels had built a sizable following with the public over the past five seasons. Plus, Sanchez is convinced that such fans will also flock to the Dakota City location. Presently, all of Daga's signature food truck fare is available for takeout and delivery. It includes tacos, quesadillas, and burritos, both traditional and wet. Also available are such specialty items like the queso taco, which is melted mozzarella between two corn tortillas with cilantro and onion, and the Takis burrito, a burrito filled with steak, guacamole, queso, sour cream, and spicy tortilla chips. Want something more traditional? Check out Daga's new DC cheeseburger, which is made with an all-beef patty and loaded up with lettuce, tomatoes, onions, mayo, jalapeno, bacon, and cream cheese. People have been really loving our DC cheeseburger, Sanchez said. That's important, since DC, of course, stands for Dakota City. We really wanted Daga's on Broadway to become a destination place for Dakota City, he said. We want to bring people to town. Does that mean the end of Daga's on Wheels? No way, said Sanchez. The food trucks will be back in the spring, he said. Then there will be more ways to get Daga's food. Here's a short little story. Headlined, Bad ATV. There wouldn't have been a problem if they just used AAA. At 4:20 p.m. on November 17th, the Sioux County Sheriff's Office arrested Jonathan Korselman, age 36, of Sheldon, Iowa, on a charge of driving a motor vehicle with a barred license. The arrest stemmed from a report of a suspicious person complaint that occurred at a residence on 340th Street west of Sheldon, where Korselman and another person entered onto a residential property after their vehicle became disabled. Deputies discovered that Korselman had been operating a Honda all-terrain vehicle and determined that his driver's license was barred. Well, everyone, I think we'll conclude today with the quote of today and today's Bible verse, which we don't always have time for. The quote of the day is by Nigel Hamilton, who was born in 1944 and is a British author. Thanksgiving is a time of togetherness and gratitude. Today's Bible verse is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Well, everybody, that does it for today's reading of the Sioux City Journal for Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November 26, 2020. I'm your volunteer reader, Amy B. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, at any time. Thanks for listening, and have a great rest of your holiday.
From the Bureau of Economic Geology, this is Earth Date. What exactly is fossil water, and why have we consumed so much of it? No, it's not a new brand of bottled water imported from the days of dinosaurs. Fossil water came from melting ice sheets, ancient lake systems, and a generally wetter climate tens to hundreds of thousands of years ago. It percolated into porous rocks, which were then buried under deep layers of sediment, where it was sealed off from the surface, and there it stayed, until farmers discovered it. And in the second half of the 20th century, they started drilling wells into fossil aquifers and pumping like mad, turning sunny, dry places into acres and acres of green farmland. Crop supplies boomed, food became cheaper and more plentiful, grown in formerly parched places like California and Kansas, and shipped around the world for people like you and me to eat, ingesting fossil water with it. The trouble is, fossil water is a finite resource, and new studies suggest that many fossil aquifers may become depleted this century, so that we won't be able to rely on them any longer. This could mean that the crops that depend on them could become less plentiful and more expensive again. All the while, population will likely increase, the climate will likely warm, our demand for water will continue to climb, which means we'll have to adapt to the lack of fossil water, just as we adapted to its discovery, this time with more efficient crops and farming methods and more efficient use. For Earth Date, I'm Scott Tinker.
Earth Date is produced by the Bureau of Economic Geology at the University of Texas at Austin, with support from Schlumberger, helping oil and gas companies increase production and efficiency while lowering environmental impact. You can hear more Earth Date stories at earthdate.org.